Okay, we're going to begin with to finish up yesterday's conversation, last time. The Gemara, that was the Gemara, the point the Gemara makes will be here about the Gemara Din. That if the Edim Zeimimim were coming to be Mechayev the Master in Shukar HaEved, even if it was after he really beat up his Eved, and he really became Chayiv in the Shukar HaEved, but it was before Hamad Bedin, then that's still called that they're being Meshachar, and they're being Mechayiv, somebody who's not a Bar Chiyuva, and they're Chayiv Kav Shazama. Strange as it seems that they have to pay him for being Mechayiv in something which he really is supposed to be Chayiv. But even so, since he was not yet a Gar Bar Chiyuva, so they're chayav, they will be mechayav somebody who was not yet chayav officially. So maybe they're chayav kashas dama for that. That was a good point that the Gemara made. And we were trying to figure out what that meant when the Gemara said that if it's before the Hamad Bedin, he's not yet called a bar chiyuva. In what way is he not a bar chiyuva? So Rashi said, the chiyuv is not definite because he might still get out of it. Since if he will come into base in the Mimoideh, he'll be Pater, because this is the Knas, he might be Knas Pater. That's why he's not called a Bar Chiyuva. Taisus says that the Pshat might work well. Taisus and Makis says that it might sound like a good Pshat for our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about a case of Knas, but the Gemara in Makis says that this is true both for Knasas and Chiyuve Misa. That let's say they came in and they were made on somebody that he was hired against an Efesh. On that also, even if he really was hiring as an Nefesh, but they'll be chayav if he was not yet Nigmar Dinay, because if before his Hamad Bedin, he's considered a Gavalad Bar Chiyuva. So he says, what's the reason over there? There's no din of Majib Knas Pater by Chiyuve Misa. There's no din that somebody who's Machal Shabbos and walks in the basin and says, I was Machal Shabbos, he becomes Pater from Misa. So Taisus doesn't like Vashi Pshat, Taisus over here. The second reason why he doesn't like Vashi Pshat, Taisus says the Pshat is, we explained a little bit at length last time, that because Chiyuve Misa and Chiyuve Knasais are just very hard for the prosecution to get a conviction, so it's not likely that he's going to end up being Chayav. That makes him called the Gavra Lav Bar Chiyuva. Masha Enkim Adine Mammon is, but you don't need a Jewish Shabbat Chakira. It's much more likely that he'll become Chayav. He really did it. So it's highly likely that he will become Chayav. So then he's called the Gavra Bar Chiyuva. That shot of Taisvis, okay, it makes a chiluk, but it seems very surprising that that should change the din. This, what we were calling a somewhat subjective consideration, more likely, less likely, that should make some kind of an official chalois in Hilchos Edim Zeimim, that makes him, he's a lav bar chiyuva because it's not likely to be chal, but he is a bar chiyuva if it is likely to be chal. Rabbi Kiveger said, I don't understand why everyone is having such a hard time with this Gemara. Isn't the Pshat of the Gemara straightforward? The reason why by Mammonis you're called a bar chiyuva, but by Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Knasos you're not, is because by Mammonis, the Chiv is Chal al Yedei the Maisa. When a person is Mazik Mammon Chaveirai, that makes him Chayav to pay. Whether there are Edim or not, even if there are no Edim, even if there is no Basin in the world, if somebody is Mazik Mammon Chaveirai, he'd be Chayav to pay. If somebody, an even clearer example, if somebody borrows money from someone else, can I borrow $100? Obviously, if I borrow money from you, I borrow $100, I'm Chayav to repay you $100 at the end of the loan. That's not because there's a base din, there's a de'edim, there's a hamad bedin, a gemar din, a psak base din. That's not what's mechayev me to pay. That's all just enforcing the chiyuv. But the chiyuv is the essence. If I have your money, I have to give it back to you. So all cases of mamoin, the chiyuv is the essence. It's not going to be kibbeger. That's why you call the gavra rachayuva. If you did the deed, you borrowed the money, you bought the land, you were mazik, you broke the window, so and then edim coming and made against you. So that's called being made against the Gavra Bar Chiyuva, and therefore even if they were not being truthful, again, because you really did it, but they weren't there. So it turned out they were Edim Zeimim, but they're not going to be Chayev B'Kashu Zaman because they were being made against the Gavra Bar Chiyuva. They were being made against somebody who really does owe the $100, and they were saying he owes $100. So that's why there's no Kashu Zaman on that. But by cases, but here's the Chav, here's the Chiddush of Kivega, but by cases of Knasais, and for that matter, by cases of Dinei Nefashais, over there, Zagdur B'Kiveikar, there's no Be'etzem D'Kechiyov. There's no, let's say, to take the example of Kefel. When I steal your shar, that doesn't make me Chayav Kefel. It's the Pesach of Basin that makes me Chayav Kefel. If I shek, I still yishar and I shek it, that doesn't make me chayav da'al behei. It's only the psak of basin that makes me chayav da'al behei. And therefore, as long as there was no hamad bedin, I'm not called a gavar bar chayuba. I'm not chayav the money. I did the act which could eventually be mechayev me, but the act itself is not mechayev me. The act enables a basin to be mechayev me. But prior to the psak of the basin, there's no such chayav. This is true by dinei knasos. Zog to be gvaker even more clearly. It's true by dinei nefashos. If somebody is mechal Shabbos, is there any din at that point that he should be killed? For example, if he wants to save base in the trip, should he go kill himself? Is a person supposed to kill himself? Let's say there are no edim. A person is mechal Shabbos, but there are no edim, and he knows full well that if Aiden would come to Basin and say that he turned on the stove and cooked the egg, Basin would be Mechayev and Misa. But there were no Aiden. Not a good example, right? Because if there are no Aiden, there are no Hasra. If there's no Hasra, okay, but let's say there were Aiden, and they gave him Hasra. And he knows full well that if those Aiden would come to Basin, Basin will stone him. But those Aiden promptly died. Two of them, but there were two people watching, he got Hasra, but those two people just died, he saw it. So he now knows that no one's ever going to come to Basin. He says, oh, yeah, I'm never going to be able to get my skila. Terry wants me to get skila. I'll give myself skila. I'll throw himself off the roof. So if you can make up, I don't know such halacha. You're not supposed to do that, nor are other people supposed to do it to you. Nobody's allowed to give you the misa because you're not chayiv misa when you're mechal Shabbos. You're chayiv misa when Basin paskins that you're chayiv misa. Basin will paskin that because of mechal Shabbos. So both by knotis and by chayiv misa, the chayiv only comes by the psak Basin. Therefore, the Gemara calls you a gavra la bracha yuva. Mashinkin by mamunis, where the chiyuv comes immediately on the day of the maisa. Therefore, the Gemara calls you a gavra bracha yuva. That part of the Gemara is in makid. Our Gemara doesn't touch on that. Our Gemara just talks about the knasos angle. Then, in the case of shein v'ayin, right, the din that an eved goes through is shein v'ayin, which is the din of knas. So, our Gemara says that you're not called a gavra bracha yuva until that matter din. What's the pshat of the zekter v'kevayir? It's because the chiyuv doesn't really exist until Basin passes the chiyuv. What's my raya? Where do I see that by mamain the chiyuv is be'etzem, is automatic, and by knas the chiyuv only comes by the Basin? He says we find this when it comes to the question of paying, let's say, shemayim. Paying when there is no basin, there nobody knows about it. So if I did by borrowing money, even if there's no basin in the world, I have to pay back the money that I borrow. But when it comes to knas, so here Rabbi Kivaker says that there's a taisvis in Ksubis, the Flam Gimel, that speaks about Lahed. Rabbi Kivaker seems to think, I think, that it's really Pashut Mitzvah. He would have said this, this is the impression, that he very well might have said this without the taisis, but Lamaisi has a makur from a taisis in Ksubis Daflam and Gimel Mebeis. The bottom taisis over there says that there is no chiyuv unless it's today shemayim by knasos. That if somebody, for example, if somebody was goyni v'tevech u'moicher, and there are no edim, for him to go over to the victim, he says, "I want to do tshuva. I stole your shar, which is worth $1,000." And I shechted it. So I want to pay you $5,000 because that's what Terry says. So the other guy has to say back, you don't owe me $5,000. You only owe me $1,000. There is no chiyuv. And he says, yeah, but I want to do what's right. There's no din that what's right over here is to pay $5,000. If he says, I want to give you a matana, then you can take it. But if he's doing it because he wants to be mekayim the din of dal v'hei, there's no such thing. You have to tell him that he should keep his money because there's no Indian of Lutz Day Shemayim on Tashum of Akras. Why? Because the Chi, so Rabbi Kivayer takes that to mean that the Chi of Knas is created by the Basin. Therefore, as long as there was no Pesach of Basin, there is no Chi of Knas. So if he says, I'm giving this to you for my Chi of Knas, he's really making a mistake. You have to give him the money back. So Rabbi Kivayer says, I see this from that Taisus in Zubit. So that which Taisus said, that there's no Chiv of Sidei Shemayim, that tells me that the Chiv is not really a bad Sidei Shemayim. And Rabbi Kivayer's last words in this piece, he says, this Chiluk is Nachlan Ubarer, right? It's such a Geshmak of Shan in the Gemara, but he can't enjoy it. I mean, he can't end off by saying, oh, Gemaldik, we have a Geshmak of Shan in the Gemara. He ends off with Hashem Yareinai, that I wish Hashem will give light to my eyes, because clearly I'm missing something. Because Rashi doesn't learn this way, Taisa doesn't learn this way, especially Taisa. Taisa is the one, Rashi at least has a real pshat. Taisa has a kasha on it, okay. But Taisa is almost like groping in the dark. It's almost like Taisa saying, I don't really have a good pshat. Because Taisa says that it's totally on these very wishy-washy factors, like how likely is it that you'll end up paying? That should make a difference whether you call the Gavra Chiva or not a Gavra Chiva. It's almost as if Taisa is saying, and this Gemara is sosum b'chosum, there's no simple pshat, so we have to go digging around for some difficult pshat. So we can make a sense, Hashem Yareinai, Hashem should illuminate my eyes. They don't understand why Jesus overlooked or declined to use the obvious pshat, the pasha pshat, the tam nachanu barer, that the reason why he called the Gavra Avraha Yuva by Knossos is because the Chiv only comes by the end of Pesach Beisim. So, Lamaisa, this assumption, that's where we left off yesterday. This assumption that Rabbi Yeager makes, that by Dinei Knossos, there is no such thing as a Chiyuv Be'etzem. The Chiyuv is only insofar as Beis Din creates the Chiyuv. But in the absence of Beis Din creating it, there is no Chiyuv. So Tosis, Rabbi Yeager brings them a cur to that from the Tosis in Ksubis, where it says that there's no Chiyuv L'Atzei Shemayim. But Achrayim Ma'orer, that there seem to be Makoris that go the other way also. What's another Nafkamina that should come out from this question of whether the Chiv is the Etzem or the Chiv only comes by the idea of the basing? One that Rabbi Kivayger talks about the Nafkamina of Lutz de Shemayim. What else is a Nafkamina between whether a Etzem Chayev or I only become Chayev when based in is Machayev me? Achayra. Another nafkamina would be, could the other person be Tayface? Does Tvisa help? It's almost like another version almost of the same nafkamina, right? If you hold that, right, certainly when I borrow money from you, so there's a din of Tvisa, right? Other than there's din al nafshay, that if Beis Din won't help you, you can take the money yourself. If I lend you money and you're not paying it back, so I could say, hey, look over there and grab your money. I run away, and you'll go running after me, and you'll say, hey, give that back. I say, no, I lent you money. Now I just got repaid. I'm entitled to this money. You'll take me to Beis Din, and I'll tell the Beis Din, yeah, but I lend money to him. I'm allowed to keep that money. I'm certainly not considered a ganav, and even Beis Din, again, depending on what evidence there is, even if I didn't have enough evidence for Beis Din to make him give me the money, but Beis Din might still allow me to keep the money. Tvisa helps. By momentous Tvisa helps. What about by Knossos? So if Rabbi Kivayger is right, we would say, L'chayra, that by Knossos, Tvisa doesn't help. If my shur kills your Eved, right, and this is the Shleshim Shel Eved, so you come into my house, and you open my safe, and you take out 30 silver coins, and then I see you by the door, and I say, hey, where are you going? And he said, just taking my 30 silver coins, thank you very much, and he runs away with it. According to Rikidegan's logic, I would say L'chaira, that shouldn't be allowed. You should have to give that back because I don't owe you any money. My shirk killed your Evid to take me to Beis Din. If Beis Din will pass get a class of Shleshim Shel Evid, then I'll owe you the 30 silver coins. But in the middle, I don't owe you anything. Why are you taking it? That's what L'chaira should follow according to Rabbi Kivayger's Svara. Yeah.
I was wondering, this time on all Knessot?
Yaakov is asking whether there might be differences between different Knossos. Great question. I'm going to just put that on hold. Right now, we're considering all the Knossos to be a single class. But certainly, if we have serious and difficulties, that's one of the avenues to explore. Then maybe we can machalik between various Knossos.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, because I think we say Zalat Behe. Maybe it was Zalat Behe. But I think Zalat Behe is a Knoss from the Torah. Not that it's necessarily contradictory. I don't remember which one.
All Knossos come from the Torah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not from the rabbis?
Right.
Okay, so... Okay.
Yeah, they're all their rabbis.
Okay.
Certainly all the classes that we've mentioned are their rabbis. So, there's a Gemara in Baba Kamo, and Daf Tesval. The Gemara over there talks about Chatzi Nezek, which I mentioned last time as one of the examples of Knas, one of the more debatable examples of Knas, because on the one hand, it is correlated to what I did. If my shur gores and damages your property, so that's the typical damage of a shark when my shark eats your food. For that, I pay nezik shalom. When my shark gores your shark, so for a shark to act in a violent and wild way is not really considered normal. The Torah is not mechayev bi nezik shalom. The Torah is only mechayev bi chatzi nezik. So one opinion of the Gemara in Daf Tesvav says that that's mamon, because it's not a random amount. It's not like the Torah says pay 15 shekels. It says pay 50% of the damage. So basically you and I are splitting the damage. But what I'm paying you, I'm getting a discount, but I'm paying for the damage. So one man number says that it's mamon, but the other man number says, no, I'm not paying the whole damage, I'm paying a different amount. It's not a random amount, but it is a different amount, and therefore it's not exactly mamon. So that opinion says that's considered a knas. The way he puts it is that the real shouldn't even pay, have to pay at all, whatever. The Gemara Lamaisa has a machalikis over there. Machalikis are a puppet, Rahun, Rahun, Yeshua. Whether Palganiskis, Mammon, or Palganiskis, knasa, it's Tesvavim, and Alps. The Gemara has that machalikis, and Alps, Tesvavim, and the Gemara comes to a conclusion that we hilchas, and we paskin, that Palganiska is knasa. And therefore, the Gemara says, "V'lei magvina le bebavel." Now, I don't know if we haven't talked about this, but just very bekitzer. In order, knasais, one of the nachmunis between knasais and mamain is that for dine knasais, you need a basin of smuchim, even nowadays, and we don't have smuchim nowadays. And so, basically, we don't collect knasais nowadays. Now, I say nowadays, I mean in the 21st century, in the times of the Gemara, the halach was even more tricky. They had smuchim, but only in Eretz Yisrael, and they had no smuchim in Babel. So, the Gemara says that since Palganizke is Knasa, so that's how we pass it. So therefore, Lo Magvina Le Babel. And then the Gemara says, what's your eight? If somebody gores a shark in Babel, you could take him to a din Tyre in Eretz Yisrael. Over there, you'll be able to get paid for it. And the Gemara says, V'tofis Lo Mefkinen Mine. You could save yourself a trip to Eretz Yisrael. Just grab the money, and you can hold on to it. The tough thing, if somebody's shark gores your shark and causes a $500 damage, and you're entitled to $250, so the tough is limit. Basin in Bavel won't make him give you the $250 because in Basin we're not limit vina kasa, so we don't collect kasa ice. But the tough is limit kinimine. But if you'll grab the $250, we won't take it away from you. So the Gemara says lahedya that tefisa helps on kasa. L'chaira, the Gemara is mefura sharaya against Rabbi Kiveger. According to Rabbi Kiveger, that there is no chia when I do the maisa, my shur does the maisa, that's not machayev me anything. It's only the psak of basin, the hamad of bedin, that's machayev me in the knas. So over there, where there's no hamad of bedin, I shouldn't be chayev the knas. And if he takes my money, he's not taking my money. We should take it back. So l'chaira, at first glance, it would seem that the Gemara itself is a raya against Rabbi Kiveger. But okay, we're all smart enough to know that we're not going to find a Gemara sitting right there in the first paragraph of Bava Kamma. That's a, right, in plain sight. That's a steer to Rabbi Kiveger. The Gemara said the Tavos Lamefkinimine, but some Rishonim learn that that's not the Kana Drabanan. That because Lamaisa, they didn't want that in Bavel there should be no recourse at all for damages, monetary damages. So maybe it's a tachanun d'rabbanan that we allow them to be goyim from one another. But there's a rush. The rush brings down, this is on the Maamar Mekhemish, I think this is on the Maamar Mekhemish this morning, that the rush, he first brings down, I think, the Ramah, who says that this din of itafislam of kinimine is a tachanun d'rabbanan. And then the rush says, but in my opinion, I disagree, and in my opinion, it's a din d'iraisa. Because since his shirt was mazik, your shirt, you have Eyyuan, that's so he's chayyid the knas. We don't have a basin, we can't be good with the knas. But you're entitled to the money, so tefisa helps. So the Rush, arguing on this Ramah, says that the din doi raisa, that tefisa helps on knasais. This Rush, l'chayra, seems to be a right answer to Vega, which is hardly better. I don't think we could have a Rush in plain sight in the first paragraph of Bava Kamma as a series of Rikki Vega. But l'chayr, it's a kasha on Rabbi Kiveger. If Rabbi Kiveger is right, that there is no chiyuv knas before basing possibly the knas, then why should tefisa help? Yeah.
Very well thought. Maybe tefisa is connected to the ability to handle psak din. Since there is an ability to pass in this din, tefisa would work.
Maybe tefisa helps because there's an ability to paskin the din, since eventually it might get kapaskin and then he will be chayev, that entitles me to be tefis today.
That's what we say, lo matfin. It's just thought. Maybe that's what lo matfin means.
Okay.
If, I mean, we came with some tefisa and say, you have rights to the money, therefore you can go ahead and rightfully take your money.
Right.
I thought that maybe tefisa is not that. It doesn't have a mechanism.
Mm-hmm. I hear the thought. I guess I would have to say I don't see why it should work that way. Why that should, and the fact that I might, that we could envision a scenario in which you would owe me the money, why that should allow me to keep the money if I take it. I don't know. Maybe it could be developed in something, but I don't see why that should work. So this is the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I'm not for today. For now, I don't want to try to be miyashev the kasha. Meaning, really, what would be perfect over here is if there's some kind of a mahalach to be mahalik between the din of tfisa versus the din of lasat de shemayim, and you know, some kind of tudinim or some kind of a pshara that'll explain why both of these are true. And maybe Rabbi Chanum has such a mahalach in the Kedesh Shiur and Baba Kama, Ayin Sham. But what I want to take out of this is simply that where Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, as a Deborah Pasha, Nachman Ubarer, is not necessarily Pasha. Let's suppose, for argument's sake, that there isn't any grand mahalach to put all these things together and make everything shtim. So let's say the Taisvis in Ksubis holds like Rabbi Akiva Eiger that the chiv is not chal until the basin passes it, and this Rush in Baba Kama argues, and again the Gemara in Baba Kama is not a kasha on the Taisvis in Ksubis because you have the Ramah, right? You can say the Gemara in Baba Kama is a tekanta de Rabbanim, but the Rush in Baba Kama that says the Tfisa helps me there, right? So maybe he takes the other side of this Chakira and holds that the chiv is chal immediately. And he would hold the chiv of Yishmael also. Now I think that might be very unlikely, because like I said, Rabbi Akiva Eiger seems to think that it's a devar pashut, that there's no such thing as a chiv of Yishmael. I don't know. But the only rayon that he brings is the tasting subis. So I don't know. Maybe it's possible that the Rush would argue with that. So I'm not leaving this as like as a whole mahalak with a yishuv that's tied up in a bow with a ribbon. Like everything is all, or everything makes sense. Everything has its place. But I just am being ma'irer that there are makayris that suggest to the contrary. So maybe it's not rachayk that Taisvis in Makis, right, and Taisvis by us, that didn't want to learn Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's a very nice shot if you assume, like the Taisvis in Ksubis, that the chi of Knas is not chal until the base in Paschim, that is chal. But maybe the Taisvis here in Makis and here in Meruba don't hold like that Taisvis in Ksubis. On the contrary, maybe they hold like the Rush in the first paragraph of Baba Kama, if it's not called Machlaikis. Maybe they hold that a Chiyuv Knas does come immediately, and therefore they're bothered why the Gemara should call it a Gavra Lav Bar Chiyuva, and that's why they have to struggle with this Svara about it being likely, not likely, because maybe they tackle argue with that instead of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We may come back to this issue when we reach the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis. Might present a different possibility again. So right now we're leaving kind of with loose ends, but the main ha'ara that I'm making, again, we should know Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Shekel Torah and how he ends off with a kasha on the Yishayim and Makis. And then this ha'ara from the later Achrayim, that if you look in the Rush and Baba Kama, it seems that he seems to hold just the opposite of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not such a pasha to kasha. Okay. We're going back now into the Gemara. And it's really, just to sort of put a little bit of the Gemara into context, bouncing back and forth, you know, the Shaka Vitaria began on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, right? There was the two dots, Amar Rava, Eidim Shuk, Shubutai Puzmu, Neharagin, Ha'akash HaTechilas HaZamahi. That began the sugya of HaKash HaTechilas HaZamah. Now that sugya, that Shakla Vitaria, that Rabbi trying to prove HaKash HaTechilas HaZamah, well, that Shakla Vitaria, that HaKash HaTechilas HaZamah, goes for a whole entire daf, till the middle of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah in the middle of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. And the sugya of HaKash HaTechilas HaZamah goes until there. But, Kedarka Shal HaGemara, along the way, a lot of other things keep on coming in. So we spent a shiur last week talking about the din of the Eved going through with the Rashi Evarim, as we were learning the Brice on the Ba'am Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Then we got back into the Shaka Vitaria between Abayin and Rava. Then we took a little break for this piece, the Hechidami piece, that talks about how Chiyuv Knasi, not called the Gavra Baruch Yuva. Now the Gemara returns to the nitty gritty of the Shach of Attire between Abaye and Rava, bringing a Raya from the Raisa. That takes us from Amalei Aracha Bid Ravika Ravashi until the bottom of the Amal Maskel Rav Zera. Then the Gemara again sort of puts the Hakash Achilas Hazama Suya on hold and goes back to the discussion about the lumbness of the Yitzia of Shein V'ayin, that which never goes free with Shein V'ayin. There's a little discussion in the Gemara about that. And then the Gemara returns to Hakash Achilas Hazama, shells it to our Mishnah, shells it to Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar. And then that Sushal to Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar get into a discussion about Edim Zemim or Edim Ede Sheker getting Malkus. And the last Shach of Ataria is the interplay between the sugya of Malkus for Ede Sheker together with the sugya of Hakash Achilas Hazama. So the Hakash Achilas Hazama is a complicated Shach of Ataria in its own right if the Gemara would just go straight and stick to it. But as it is, it gets more complicated because the Gemara keeps going off in different directions. So right now, we have to review, before we do Amalei Aracha Bid Ravika Ravashi, we have to review that part of the Shach of Ataria that we covered already, which I think we haven't done since Sunday or maybe last Thursday. Rava's Chiddush was that Hakash Achilas Hazama, which meant that even though the Eidim were Hokchish before they were Huzam, they still get a Kasha Zaman. And as we explained, which we still need to explain better, but we explained that it's clear from the Gemara that our starting point should be, right, that in Lumnus we should have understood, even if maybe we didn't, but we should have understood that a Hakasha before a Hazama should eliminate the din of Kasha Zaman. You need to be a thriving Eidus, a working Eidus, in order to be subject to the din of Kasha Zama. But if the Eidus was already knocked off of the Hakasha and then they became Huzam, they should be Pater. But Rava said, and everyone agrees that that should be our starting point. But Rava says that nevertheless, in Meshukh Chuzul, Vasayv Huzmu, our Naragin, because Hakasha Chilas Hazama, Elish Lay Nigmaro, we consider that Hakasha to be the first part of the Hazama. So you need the Hazama to strike the Eidus while they're still alive. It did strike, because the Hakasha was the beginning of the Hazama, so that's when the Hazama struck. That was Rav's Chiddush. Rav said, I'll bring you a Raya from the Braisa. So now, we have to go back into this Shlach of Ataria. The Braisa had two halves, the Reisha and the Seifa. In both cases, it was about Edim Zainamim that made up a story which was remarkably similar to a true story, even though they were never there and they don't know anything true. But it was remarkably similar to a true story. But they made up a story about the Adon beating up his Eved, knocking out a tooth and an eye. In the Reisha, the case was that they said eye then tooth, which means that they were being Mechayev the master in Demei Shein, not Demei Ayin. And then they became Edim Zaymimim. So they're Chayev to pay the Eved because they were taking away from him the Demei Ayin that he was entitled to. In the Seifa, the Edim Zaymim were the ones that said Demei Shein and then Demei Ayin, so they were trying to increase the Chiyuv, make the Adin pay Demei Ayin, and therefore when they become Zaymim, they end up paying the Demei Ayin to the master. So in each case, they ended up paying when they're found to be Zaymim. We carry out the Kasha Zamam. What's the Kasha Zamam? They pay Demei Ayin. In the Reisha, they pay it to the Eved, and the Seifa, they pay it to the master. So the Gemara started with the Reisha, and Rava said, In the Reisha, the Braisa doesn't really explain the whole case, but the Braisa just says they walk in and they say that he knocked out the eye and then the tooth, so the Eved should go free and get a Demei Shein, and when they become Zaymimim, so they pay Demei Ayin to the Eved. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense. Why are they paying to the Eved? Adrabah, they help the Eved, they harm the master. Why don't they pay the master? After all, they took away his Eved. And thirdly, why did the Braisa say Sharei Arav Omer came? Why would the master have been in support of their story? Their story was entirely against the master. So Al Kurkuk, there's a step missing in the Braisa. What was missing in the Braisa? It must be that there was a prior Katav Edim that came in and said the true story. The prior Katav Edim came in and said that the master knocked out the tooth and then the eye. They came into base and they said, no, the master knocked out the eye and then the tooth. They weren't being mechadesh that the master beat up the Eved. They weren't being mechadesh that the Eved goes free. They were only being mechadesh that rather than owing Demei Ayin, he should owe Demei Shein. That's why the master is applauding them. And then when the Nimsuzaimim, so they were really lying, that was, they were trying to get the master out of paying for the Ayin. I mean, they were trying to take away from the Eved his rightfully due Demei Ayin. So in the Nimsuzaimim, they paid the Demei Ayin to that. That must be the child in the Reisha. And then Zaki Rava, but you see, now we're carrying out Akash Zamam on these Eidim, but before they were Huzam, weren't they already Hukash? Why were they already Hukash? Because the minute that they walked into Beis Din and they said that it was Ayin then Shein, Beis Din immediately said, one second, we just heard the opposite. Yesterday there was a pair of Eidim here who said just the opposite. So their Eidus was immediately considered a refuted Eidus. So it was Hukash from the very moment that it was delivered. So and then tomorrow, the next day, it became Huzam. So this is an Eidus, Shehukashu was like Huzamu, and the writer says that Hasizim like Hashazam, they paid Demei Ayin to the Eved because of Hasizim like Hashazam. So you see, like Rebbe says, that even though they were Hukashu before they were Huzamu, they're still Nehrogim. Over here, it's not Nehrogim, over here, whatever. It's Kashu, they still get a Kashazam, they still get the punishment of Kashazam. That was Rebbe's Raya from the Reisha. Abaya pushed it off. Abaya said, you know what, let's lead out that whole part of the Shakatai for now, although we'll need to come back to it at the bottom of the Almud. But for now, Rav Achavar Yav Ika is coming to attack that very step. That which Rava said, again, he made up a pshat in the Reisha. The Reisha doesn't say any of this, but the way that it's written doesn't make any sense. You have to add something. So Rava made up this addition to the Reisha, and then based on that, he said, look, here you have a situation where the Eidim, before the Huzam, they're Hukash, and then when they're Huzam, they're punished. So you see that Eidim is Hukash, who will say, Huzam, who still get a Kash, Huzam, it's a riot to my Yisrael, and a Kach, a Chilas, a Zama. Oh, Merle, Rav Acham, Rav Ika, Rav Ashi. So now we said the new Gemara, Rav Acham, Rav Ika says to Rav Ashi, Duk yudu Rava mei hecha? Rava Zik is from where? Which is the way that it was presented, did you say that he was midayik from the Reisha? It can't be his meaning midayik from the Reisha. You can't learn HaKash Techilas Zama from the Reisha. Why? Because the Reisha is no HaKash at all. And Rabbi Yav Ika points out something which, now that we think about it, should seem pretty obvious. Rabbi Yav Ika says, these Eidim, right, the Eidim that we're focusing on, right, which is the middle pair in the way that we constructed the case, but the Eidim, we'll call them the Eidim Zeimim, they walked into Beis Din and they said that it was the Ayin and the Shein. And so he doesn't owe $100,000, he owes $100. Now, yesterday there was a pair of Eidim here who said it was the Shein and then the Ayin, so he doesn't owe $100, he owes $100,000. That's what the first pair said. But these Eidim, the Eidim that eventually are that on Tuesday are going to become Huzam, when they come in on Monday, they say he doesn't owe $100,000, he owes $100. The Eved goes free, that we all four of us agree about that. But he doesn't owe $100,000, he only owes $100. At that point, and the third cat, the one that's going to be mazing them, they didn't come in yet. They're going to come on Tuesday. Monday afternoon, when Beis Din is sitting and deliberating, so what are they going to decide? How are they going to paskin? We have these two pairs of witnesses. One says that he owes $100,000 to the Eved. One says that he only owes $100 to the Eved. So what's basically going to paskin on this Adayin? Surely they're not going to paskin that he should pay $100,000 because it's a trey. There's conflicting, contradictory ages about that, so Beis Din has a suffix, and the suffix they're not going to make him pay. So they're not going to make him pay $100,000. They're not going to make him pay the Demei Ayin. What about $100? Are they going to make him pay that? That, yeah. Because there's no conflict about that. Both pairs of Eidim say that he's chayav $100. Aye, what do you mean both pairs say he's chayav $100? One of them said not 100, but 100,000. Yeah, but b'chalal masayim on him. It's the expression that Rav Acham Yerivika uses. That 100 is included in 200. Okay, so I used a bad example. I used a different example than the Gemara. But, right, 100 is included in 100,000. Like the Gemara says, 100 is included in 200. So if we're fighting whether he owes 100 or 100,000, that means we both agree that he owes 100. We're not really fighting about that. We're just fighting whether he just owes that or whether he still owes another 999,900. Right? That's what we're fighting about. But the 100 we agree about. Of course, if you call it Demei Shein, then yeah, you call it a fight. One side says he does owe Demei Shein, the second pair says he owes Demei Shein, the first pair says he doesn't owe Demei Shein, he owes Demei Ayin. But dollar bills don't come with names on them, right? They I don't care if you call it Demei Shein or you call it part of Demei Ayin, we all agree that he owes $100 because B'chal B'Sayim on him. So what's basically the Paskin? Basically the Paskin, first of all, the Eved goes free because everyone agrees to that, and the other has to pay the Eved $100. Which means that second pair of Eidim, they walk out feeling like $1 million. Oh, that's a bad expression. They walk out, they feel like the winners. Based on Paskin like them. They came in and they said that Eved should go free and the master should pay $100. And based on Paskin, Eved goes free and the master pays $100. So at this point, we would turn to the first pair and say, you're the losers. And we return to the second pair and say, you're the winners. So Frederick Vacher and Yerevika, so where's the Hakasha? Where, how is this like the case of Eidim Shehuk Chashu B'Sai Fuzmu? Eidim Shehuk Chashu B'Sai Fuzmu means Eidim came into Basin on Sunday and they said something. Then on Monday, Basin stopped believing them. They weren't yet. Who's on the Basin? Stopped believing them. Right? Like, what was Rebbe's case? Eidim came in on Sunday and said, Reuven killed Shimon. So Basin said, oh, Reuven killed Shimon. We're going to kill him. Monday came on Monday, two other Eidim came into Basin and said, Reuven didn't kill Shimon. So now, it's a trade. Basin still doesn't know what's going to happen, but now Basin says, you know what, we're not going to kill him. Because it's a trade, you don't need to have a suffix. You're not going to go kill Reuven, you suffix. So now Basin says, we're not going to kill him. So from the perspective of those two Eidim that came in on Sunday they were being believed, and on Monday they got knocked down a notch. They're no longer being believed. They're not going to be killed, right? We don't know that they were lying, but we no longer consider them to be telling the truth. So, right, we're not paskin like them anymore. That's huk kashu. And there, like we said last week, you know, you could hear it sad that maybe they're no longer subject to Hazamba because their ages got knocked down before it got knocked out. You know, there's down and then out. And so by the time Tuesday came and Adam came and said, Imanu, he's a Malcolm Pliny, by that time they were picking on Adam that were already irrelevant. They were already losers. So maybe they shouldn't be chayef for that. Oh, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi says, a chidush, a kosher chilas Hazamba. So therefore they're still chayav. But if you wouldn't have told about Kasha Chilas Hazama, they'd be putter, because when the Hazama started, they were already losers. But Zakir Bachar Yerevika, that didn't happen in this Brisa. Because these Eidim, the Eidim Zaymim, they were the winners. After there was a trade with Shrei, we were passing in like them. So they were still the winners. So why would you call that Hukashu Zay Fuzmu? Avadu, when the Eidim on Tuesday come and say, Imanu Yitzim complaining. They're starting off with a pair of Eidim that are still vibrant, alive, successful. Their ages are still working. So therefore, Rav Yerevika says, that's not a good deal. Rav couldn't have been learning it from the Reisha. Duki de Reisha, Duki de Rav Mehecha, where's Rav learning his halacha from? Ilema me Reisha. If you say from the Reisha, Reisha mikam skachashi mitziyayi. In the Reisha, did the Mitziyoi, the Middle Eidim, ever become Hukchash? Kivan says, the Loi Mitzvi, if they wouldn't have become Huzam, if the story would end after Monday, right? On Sunday, you had Eidim that came in and said, the Shein, knocked out the Shein and then the Ayin. Monday, these Eidim came in and said, he knocked out the Ayin and then the Shein. And let's say the story would have ended right then. Loi Mitzvi Sadusa, if there's ages would not be Huzam, Kavasayu Kakaima, or maybe Eloi Mitzmi Kama, Sadusayu Kavasayu Kavasayu Kakaima, I'm not sure how to read it. Their ages would be standing. The Dina Kavasayu Paskinim, because we would pass in the Din like them. That the Adin just pays the Dmei Hashem, the Yesh Bechal Masayim Manim, because the 100 is included in the 200. So the 100, they're being Mechayev, everyone's being Mechayev. Hilkach, therefore, kamoyhu dikom miskachashi. It's only the first pair, the one that says chayav demei ayin, they're hukkash, but mitziyoyu, but the second pair that said demei shein, loy miskachashi midi, they didn't get hukkash at all. And they're the ones that become huzam. So the agent that got huzam on Tuesday, they were never hukkash. So how is this the case of agent shukkashu b'sayf huzmu? Rav never could have proven anything from there. This is what Rav Acha Reid, Rav Ika Tainu to Rav Ashi. Omar Le, and Rav Ashi says back, and this is a very tricky line to read. Every time I look at this line, I read it wrong. It's not Omar Le Rava. It's Omar Le Kama, Rava Savar Kama. Okay, Rav Ashi says back that Rava thought, and we're going to go on in a moment to see that part of the Gemara, that Rava thought that Enochanami from the Reisha, I don't see anything, but from the Reisha, I see that it's Shalish Kites, and that enables me to prove from the Sefer that Akash of Masada. But let's just pause over here. Rav Akiva Yerivika says that there's no way anybody could prove Hakash Tchilas Hazama from the Reisha, because in the Reisha, the Edim that eventually became Huzam were never Hukash, because Dina Kavasayu Ka Paskinan. So we now all feel like fools, right? Because we started this tomorrow a week ago, and we thought that Rava proved from the Reisha that Hakash Tchilas Hazama, and we nodded along. Yeah, we see Taka that they came into Basin, and immediately they were Hukash. Because the Eidim never were saying the other way. So you see over here that even though you're Hukash, you can still become Huzam. What were we thinking? It's not just a kash on us, right? It was the Gemara. Until Rav Akiva Yerivika came over, Rav Akiva Yerivika is changing something. But there was a step in the Gemara that the Gemara thought that there was a proof from the Reisha. Rav Akiva Yerivika shrugs it up, and Rav Ashi accepts it. So the Maskara, the Gemara is talking not like that. Rav can't prove it from the Reisha, but there was a sign in the Gemara that Rav was proving it from the Reisha. But my kumifli, what's the kudo over here? What was the tzad that you could yes prove from the Reisha? And the answer, I think the answer is pashut. That avada, there is a real hakasha, because even though we ended up paskening like them, but we were paskening like them misafek. There's different ways to bring it. I say it's pashut. It's not pashut exactly how to define it. But let me start like this. When we talk about the Edim becoming hukash first, does it mean the Edim personally were hukash, or that their edus was hukash? When Rav Akiva Yerivika comes in, he says there was no hakasha because dina kavasayu kapaskinan. He may be able to argue that the edus was still standing. It was never hukash because we paskin like that edus. But the edim were absolutely hukash, meaning we looked at them as being suffic liars. V'haraya, right? Let's think back to the Gemara of Basra. What happens if they come into Basin tomorrow? So, okay, it's not so simple, right? Because we know there's a machlekes about it, but let's break this down. According to Rav Chisda, if they come into Basin tomorrow, basically, he says, even though Dina Kavasaya Paskinan, they're going to say, what? You're not going to accept our ages? We're the winners. Don't accept their ages. They lost yesterday. We won. Basin passing like us. So why are you accepting our ages? Tomorrow, when they come in with some other story, they say that Reuben crashed into Shimon's car. Why don't you accept our ages? Yesterday, we were in a country in a conflict with other ages, but we won. Basin passing like us. But of course, we're not going to fall for that. They said, Basin didn't pass them like you. Basin said, we don't know who's right. But B'chal Masayimana, so we pass them like you. But you're a Suffolk, Lamaisi, you're as much of a Suffolk liar as the other side is. That's according to Rav Chisda. According to Rav Chisda, for sure, these Edim became puzzled. On Monday, when they came, right when they walked into Basin, we viewed them as Suffolk liars. And they became puzzled for all future idiots. Now, what about according to Rav Huna? According to Rav Huna, who argued with Rav Chisda, so for a second, you might think, this shigotah that I just told you only works according to Rav Chisda, doesn't work according to Rav Huna, because according to Rav Huna, Lamaisa, they're kosher for all future idiots. But that's really faulty reasoning. Because really, Rav Huna, he just disagrees in degree. But he also holds that if they walk in the next day to be meyed, they have a psol. It only chaps an afkamina if the cat that walks in on Monday will be one of these and one of those, right? If it'll be one from the first cat and one from the second cat, he'll call them psulim. But, right, because one of them is a man of shach pasal. But he's passing them, he's suffic. We all look at them, everybody looks at them as pasal, as aiding with a suffic psul. Rav Chisda holds aiding with a suffic psul are pasal. Rav Huna holds aiding with a suffic psul still have a chazakah. But he also looks at them as Edim with a suffix. So, the harayat will be one from the first guy, one from the second guy, he'll disqualify that Aegis. So you see, nobody really thinks like Rav Akiva Yerivika. The way Rav Akiva Yerivika presents it is that there was a winner and a loser. And only the first cut, they're the liars, because right, we're not passing like them. The second cut, we're passing like them, they're the winners. So they were never hokash. So, but we know from Baba Basra that that's not true. Avad, as far as the Eidim are concerned, we consider them to be Eidim Mukhoshim. So what's Rav Yovika's argument? And so maybe that, yeah, even if the Eidim are Mukhosh, but the Eidus is not considered Mukhosh. Because since we're Lamais Paskin like that, Eidus, they came into Basin and they said something, and Basin is following them. True, they're not following it because Basin is sure that they're right. It's only because B'chal Masayim Mona, when they shake up all, when they put together all of the ages, the way it shakes out, is that this is the most cautious way to Paskin. So we pass like their Eidus. But Lamais, we pass them like their Eidus. So how could you call it an Eidus Mukheshes? But, so maybe there's an underlying kakir over here, that is the vart of hukhashu l'b'sayf huzmu, meaning, again, if we put ourselves into the mindset of, if we held not like Rava, right, the edim hukhashu l'b'sayf huzmu would not be neragim, right, they're not subject to kashuzam, because their edim was, because they were already hukhashu, is it because the edim were already hukhashu, or is it because the edus was already hukhashu? And maybe, if you can make a hakir like that, maybe that's the nekudas hamachlokes between the earlier part of the Gemara versus Rabbi Yehuda Yerivika. It doesn't necessarily have to be like that. Again, maybe, you know, it could be that even if we all agree that we're focusing on the Eidus, not on the Eidim, Rabbi Yehuda Yerivika says their Eidus was never hukash because it prevailed. Maybe the Gemara thought that even though we don't call that prevailing, we pass in that way b'teres safek. A real Eidus, we pass in like the Eidus b'teres vadai. Once we're only passing like them b'teres safek, that's already called an Eidus shokasha. There's different ways of saying it. Again, believe that maybe, you know, we'll know more about the longness of the sugya when we finish the Sakha Vatari. We really, you know, reluctant to really say anything too definitively before we get to the end. So we'll put this on hold and believe that, depending on how things are going, maybe we'll come back to it. But for now, I just need to be aware that what Rav Rabbi Yovika says is far from pashut. Rav Rabbi Yovika says, you can't prove from here a kasha plus. I mean, there's no kasha over here. That's really far from pashut. Because Adrava, I would say, we know the Gemara of Basra. All these Eidim are Safik lawyers. The second cut just as much as the first cut. There's no better treatment to the second cut than the first cut. So we could very well hear why the Gemara originally thought that this is an example of Hokushu Vasavazmu. That being said, nevertheless, Rav Rabbi Yovika teaches us that no, I don't look at this as a Hakasha. There's a Chiddush over here. That the fact that Dina Kavasaya Kapaskinon enables us to look at it as the Eidus Shaloi Hokusha, even though the Eidim were Hokushu. So maybe the Pshat is because Rav Rabbi Yovika's Chiddush is don't look at the Eidim, look at the Eidus. Or maybe, like we mentioned, a second possibility about the Nekudas HaMachlokes. But Al-Kapanim, then there's a Chiddush here in Rav Rabbi Yovika. What he's saying is not partial. We were not fools all along for having understood the Gemara. There was a good basis for the beginning of the Gemara to say that this is called Eidim Shehuk Kashu Ubuzay Puzmu. But Rav Rabbi Yovika is just tiny that Afal Pikein, you shouldn't look at it this way, since Seif Kosev Dina Kavasayu Kapaskinan. Okay, so what then is Rav's proof? Rav couldn't have been proving it from the Reisha. Because the Reisha, Rav Rabbi Yovika, insists that's not called an Eidus Hokusha. So where was he proving it from? He was proving it from the Seifa. In the Seifa, where the Eidim Zeimimim are the ones that said Demei Ayin, so then the B'chal Masayim Mana makes us passing against them. Right? We two Eidim say $100, two Eidim say $100,000, so basically passing is $100. Ah, but the Eidim Zeimimim were the ones that said $100,000. So over there, there's clearly a hakasha. Now, this next part of the Gemara, you know, we can read through the Gemara quickly, but even though we only have 1 minute left, if we wanted to just read through the Gemara, we could. But we're not going to do that. What I want to, you'll work on it tomorrow morning, I want to just bring out, it's still not easy. Again, Rabbi Yerivik just said, from the Reisha, there's no Raya. So, why? Because over there was never a hakasha on the Eidim Zeimimim, because Dinu Kavasaya Kapaskinan. So l'chayr, we should have just said, okay, fine. So the Raya is not from the Reisha, the Raya is from the Seifa. Just bring the Raya from the Seifa, because in the Seifa, the Dina is not Kavasayah Paskin, and they're the ones that are saying a lot of money. So there's a conflict between a lot of money and a little money, so Basin Pasim is a little money. So in the Seifa, they are Hukhish. So there you have a case of Hakasha followed by Azama. And there's the Hakasha to Azama. But Ravashi, in his response, he doesn't just say, okay, fine, the Raya is from the Seifa. He says, it starts with the Reisha. From the Reisha, we prove something to the Seifa. Right, we have to work out, when you learn through the Gemara, carefully, remember why at the top of the Amud, Abaye thought that the Seifa is the last place that Rav is going to get away with his pshat. Right, remember, the beginning of the Shabbat, Rav came and brought a Raya from the Reisha, and Abaye said, no, that's not the pshat. And I'll prove it from the Seifa. And we had the long Rashi. I'm reminding you now, Rashi Dibra Maskel Va'azminu, about a quarter of the way down the Amud. It was a long Rashi, somewhat long, where Rashi explained why Rav is pshat, well, even if it could have worked in the Reisha, but it surely couldn't work in the Seifa, that's why Abaye gave his pshat in the Seifa. That's why Abaye proved his pshat from the Seifa. But now we're coming back and we're saying, no, Rav is actually bringing his proof from the Seifa. Well, if that's the case, then he's got to get around the problem that was outlined in the Rashi Dibra Maskel Va'azminu. That's the challenge in this next step of the Gemara. Okay, we'll pick up with that tomorrow.